podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
And I had a look through it when I sent it to you.
Yeah.
And as I said when we chatted in the messages, I said that my fear for this was that it would be too boring.
No, there is literally no such thing. I have had hour-long conversations about USB ports on this podcast. The most important thing to remember is there is no threshold for boredom. I do not care about my audience. It's all about having the most mundane conversation possible. That's the dream. It's the dream. Mm. Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster, and this week I'm joined by the fantastic comedian Eleanor Tinnan. Good morning, Eleanor Tinnan. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Thank you for having me on the show.
Very, very welcome. You're very well. Well, I mean, I started this conversation by saying thanks for doing this, and you were like, comedians do podcasts, Tom. Get over yourself. Get over yourself.
That wasn't the intention to. That wasn't my intention to come across. I was seeking to deflect the praise that I didn't feel was earned in your in your compliment. Comedians want to do podcasts.
Well, of course. Otherwise, where is our purpose?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. But we can't even gig now.
No, exactly. Are you not a fan of the praise? Shall I keep the praise? I've got a few dials in front of me for making podcasts, and there's one dial which is praise your guest. I can turn that down or up. What's your...
No, don't turn it down.
Yeah.
But I like it subtle.
Okay, good. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I'll press the subtle button. It's just above it. I had this recently. One of my bosses at a radio station that I work on said, you know, he was very positive. He said, I like what you're doing. And I don't need to go on too much about this because I know you find it embarrassing. And I was like, no, I don't. I don't find it embarrassing. I want you to really, really go into some detail as to how good I am. Like... I absolutely love it. What I'm saying is, if you could praise me throughout, that would be great.
Sure. Great. Yeah. I feel like I'll be limited in what I can offer in terms of the fact we haven't met or worked together before. Yeah. So I'm going to have to. I really like your voice, though. You're breathing really well throughout all of this.
Yeah, that's it. All of those. Great. Just repeat those ones, to be honest.
Okay.
Just jump back on those as we go. That's ideal. Okay. All right. We should probably get on with the actual format of the podcast, I'd imagine. So, as you know, I've been rifling through your Amazon bins today. We're going to go right back to the first thing you ever bought on Amazon. Okay. 2003.
Man.
18 years ago, April 2003, 18 years ago, Eleanor.
Shall I tell you the setting of my life at the time?
I would love that.
Yeah. I was a young engineer living in Dublin. Oh. I hadn't done comedy. I was involved in amateur dramatics at the time, and that was very like exciting for me. And I thought I really like this stage business. I really like this attention stuff. And I was working in a civil service kind of job position, and I was soon to take a break from that. So I would imagine if I bought something, it was nothing to do with work. I had zero interest in it at the time. So
it's really interesting how many comics were in the civil service at one stage. Like Athena Coblenou came on a couple of weeks ago, and Roisin Conaty used to work in the civil service.
Yeah, Athena was a civil engineer, the same as I was as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you were itching to get out of there, and you were in Ireland at this point?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, April 2003, I can tell you that you bought Choice Theory, A New Psychology of Personal Freedom by William Glasser, I suppose.
Yes, I remember that book. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A new psychology that, if practiced, could reverse our widespread inability to get along with one another, an inability that is the source of almost all unhappiness. Is this just because you were working with too many engineers? Why did you need this?
I was just having a lot of conflict in my life, I think, and I needed a new psychology, clearly, to manage that, to learn how to get on better with people.
Is that so? That's what it all comes down to. Just be a better person with other people.
No. It was I was like, I guess, just trying to read up and learn about the world. I think that book is more to do with education and how education works. So yeah, it was nothing to do with what I thought it might be. It was nothing to do with work or amateur drama. I thought it was going to be some play, actually, that I was working on at the time. Some one act Alan Ayckbourn play. It turns out I had other things on my mind as well.
So you were itching to get away from engineers and to jump into, well, not even amateur dramatics, professional dramatics.
Yes.
But you were also, why did you decide to get this book for yourself, do you think? What was it? Was it about, what was it that attracted you to this book? Was it like completely rewiring your brain to be with other people? What was the leap, do you think, that made you buy it? A difficult question, 18 years later, I realise.
Yeah. I guess I, oh man, this is going to sound so arsey.
Good. But, love that.
I'm always a bit kind of oversensitive, I'm always looking at, like, I'm oversensitive and I get angry, and I'm always looking for like a theory that might explain things. I'm always confused. Oh, this, I'm talking absolute bollocks now, Tom.
No, au contraire, as they would say in France, or maybe Belgium. I'm really interested in that. So you're very sensitive. Obviously, the perfect thing to do then is to work in showbiz. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly. When people, you know, everyone can criticise you, it's great for your mental health.
don't you feel when people say, and they say, I've heard this so many times over the last 20 years, you just got to grow a thick skin. And I'm always like, my skin has never been thinner. Like, I have the thinnest.
If you had a thick skin, you would be a terrible performer and actor. It's a terrible idea to get a thick skin. Thick skin people are bad at sensitivity and all of the things that you need to be a comedian and a performer. So they're absolutely wrong. That couldn't...
We like to watch, you know, on stage, we like to look at delicate flowers, not concrete blocks.
Yeah,
right?
People who cry and feel their feelings.
Can you well, that sniff then sounded like emotion.
Yeah. it's hay fever. It's hay fever.
Oh yeah. No. I'm gonna it's a new record for crying on My Mate Butter Toast. Within minutes, Tom had unwanted. This is a big acting challenge that people have sometimes set me. Can you cry on demand?
I have done it, but I don't know. I don't think I have that anymore. No. I think my brain is ruined.
Why is your brain ruined? What's ruined your brain?
My phone. My phone and the internet. Oh, yes. And social media. I don't think I have those depths.
Yes.
They're there,
yes.
But it's I need about 2 years off in the wilderness to reconnect.
We'll talk about it later because we get onto this, actually.
My wilderness thing is there too, yeah.
Well, the wilderness, but also the anger with social, not anger, but the needing to disconnect from social media, because that's something I believe in so much, and yet I'm doing fucking nothing about. It's like being an environmentalist and still driving a diesel SUV. That is what I'm doing with social media. I hate it so much, and yet every day I pour hours of my life into it. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. But we'll come on to that. We'll come on. Let's just enjoy being in the noughties. We're in 2006 now.
All right.
Long before Twitter came and took a dump on your eyes. And there's some interesting books here. There are some really, really interesting books. You've got a lot of Seinfeld. You've got Artist's Way, the 10th anniversary edition by Julia Cameron. Can you tell us about this?
Yes. I'm sure I've probably even purchased this more than once in my timeline. This is a book... that is, I guess it's just very widespread, a book which is a way, it's like a 10-week course to connect back into your creativity. So this lady, Julia Cameron, you do it yourself in this workbook. She has just set up or constructed this like personal curriculum for reconnecting. So one of the things that she says to do is these morning pages. You wake up in the morning and you do kind of free writing, like 3 pages of free writing, and whatever comes out is fine. Yeah. You're supposed to take yourself on an artist's date, which, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me about that.
The artist date. I think for my artist date, I went on a furniture restoration course, which is something I don't have, like, I don't know anything about, or this is nothing to do with, you know, obviously any other kind of creative area, you know, where I, which I do, we do professionally. This is just a totally like hobby thing. And I went and I did, I learned how to paint kind of shabby chic paint effects on furniture for a day. And it's great. It's really nice.
And I mean, did you get to first base? Are you going to go for a second date with this artist?
I mean, it's how long? That was 2006. So it's 15 okay. years now. So I'd say it's unlikely.
You haven't been trying to get in touch. You haven't been ghosting yourself.
No.
It's a beautiful thing to do. But I like all these books and self-help things, which people can be very dismissive of. And it annoys me when they're dismissive of them because they can come across as a bit gimmicky.
Mm.
But the classics like this, there are classics in all sorts of departments. This is creative. There's things like The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. The classics are books. And often you only need to take one or two things from each of these books. And you don't realise, but it becomes part of you. And they can really make a difference.
Yes. And I think it's I did one recently where I got just a small tip. There's a book which is in there, I'm sure, called Stand Firm. And it's still self-help, but it's kind of anti-self-help. It kind of takes the theories of the Stoics, I actually don't know much about Stoics at all, but they were people who had a philosophy of mental health, which was to kind of put yourself through hardship, and that kind of builds resilience in yourself. Yeah. And this Stand Firm book is a kind of a modern kind of writing of that. And one of them was to read more novels, was one of the tips the guy had, because it's kind of, I guess the consumption of information in like short bites is kind of like, it's not very good for your brain. If you kind of can take in a story over a longer period, that is kind of, it induces a more restful kind of mental state.
Yes. Cause we're all on such high alert at the moment on every possible level. Society's on high alert. We're personally on high alert. We're professionally on high alert. And it doesn't help that information is short and punchy. These are short little paper cuts of information all the time.
Yes. Yeah. So that was one thing you're talking about, but there's so much like that is self-help that doesn't even get called self-help. Like I think that guy Jordan Peterson, who people think of a kind of a, you know, a man's, he's like this writer, and he wrote this book, These 12 Rules for Living. And all of these, I guess his supporters are kind of more along the men's rights, you know, and incel kind of track. But it's actually like a self-help book that he's written, I think. From what
have
I've
read it?
I just know the 12, it's these 12 rules for living, and it's things like, you know, tidy your room. And that's what would be in a self-help book, you know, if it had like an Eat, Pray, Love kind of cover, it would get a very different response.
But that's it, isn't it? It's amazing because a man's written it. It's a manifesto.
Yeah, yeah.
It's but it's like, I say this all the time, Sebastian Faulx, he's a romance writer. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Sebastian Faulx is a romance writer, but of course it's a man in a man's book, dressed up like a man's book. It's serious literature. Shortlist him at once.
Yes. True.
The Artist's Way, a spiritual path to higher creativity. I love all this stuff. I need to find more time in my life for this sort of stuff. Excellent, excellent, excellent. The Mad Woman of, is it Shiloh?
Shiloh. Yes.
Tell us about this book, please.
Now, this is getting into it. This is a play that I studied at college when I went and studied performance for a few years in Dublin.
So you've left the engineering world at this point.
I've left engineering now, and oh my word, did I love this play. It's such a fun, it's an absurd play by Guy... It might be Jean Genet.
It's Jean. I mean, to be fair, I am looking at it, so do not think this is intelligence. This is just the fact.
Tell me who wrote it.
Jean Giraudoux.
Giraudoux. Yeah. 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 We did good there.
Adapted by Maurice Valenci, of course. Maurice Valenci, one of my favourite adapters.
Yeah, so it was in my third year in uni, we did that play. It was such fun. It's really funny.
Did you feel like you were shedding a skin when you left engineering and leapt onto the stage?
Yes, I did. And how I know that is because I reversed. I went into reverse about 5 years later. So in Ireland, when you're leaving the civil service, you can take a career break, which allows you to leave your job, but they will hold it for you until you make a decision.
That's so evil, because that's institutionally that's saying, go on then, off you go. Yeah, go see the big wide world. She'll be back.
Yeah, isn't it? It is. Yeah, it's exactly that. And at the end of every year, you have to make let them know what your plans are. So after 5 years, I had to make a call, like the final call on it all. And I kind of thought, do you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to see what it's like. And I guess comedy wasn't a 9-to-5 job at the time. Mm. I had been to uni and I was doing it, but I thought it'd be great to have a salary and doing this as well.
Those are great things. I've heard of them.
Yeah. They're really, and banks really like them as well. Salaries. Banks love those.
Huge. Yeah. The man is a big fan of your salary.
Big fan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I went back and I had to put the process of that, which I didn't realize, was putting all the layers back onto myself.
Interesting. So how long did you go back for? This is like, the parents saying, go and camp in the garden then. And then you come back in at 2 a.m. damp and in tears.
Yeah. Yeah. And shall I tell you how long I lasted?
Oh, I love it. This is delicious. This is going to be, is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a month?
8 days, 8 working days is how long I lasted. And at least one of those involved head on the desk, asleep, like full on REM sleep.
That's great. Ooh, my big boy butter toaster. My big boy butter toaster. Shoving all eyes ever been so far, my big butter toaster. Let's skip on ahead. We're going to go now to 2010.
Hey.
And then 2010. This is an interesting one. There's only one thing you bought in 2010.
Oh.
Right. You're still in Ireland at this stage. Mm-hmm. I can see it, because I can see your
addresses.
We've never met. This is completely weird. You bought Domino, the Book of Decorating, a room by room guide to creating a home that makes you happy.
Still have it. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good sign. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a good book, that one. I do quite like to dip in and out of it.
Were you moving in somewhere at the time? Were you trying to sort of spruce things up? What were your surroundings? Why was this book going to help?
I think because I've always lived, in house shares and rented things. I'm always struggling with this kind of how much can you do to your house to make it your home? And I've always wanted to do up a house, but I've never owned one. But I think that book, A Girl's Guide to Decorating, was kind of, it was written for somebody who has maybe a rented house, and wants to do the kind of things that a landlord won't mind you doing to their house.
Do what you like, just no blue tack. All right.
Yeah, yeah, sellotape. No.
There's some excellent reviews. One Amazon customer, very American. 4 stars. Nice rooms, but very American. I'm not sure how many ideas will be usable over here, as our rooms are so much smaller. What is in this book? Is it giant fridges and stuff?
I think one of the things is paint a room black,
just a random room.
Yeah. Or paint your fridge. That was kind of things they were advising. I'm not sure where that person is coming from.
Well, not America, clearly. Obviously, they've really taken a dislike to the book on that.
European.
Basis.
Plus as well, 2010, I had quit alcohol, drinking alcohol as well. So I think when I did that, there was a whole period of, like, I had been basically out every night for a decade. And that was that when I was doing that, like, I was kind of pretty much, like, you know, not really taking great care of my surroundings at home.
Yes.
So when I quit drinking, I was like, oh, I'm going to create this beautiful nest for myself, you know, in the house. And I'm going to be, you know, be nurturing and drink freshly squeezed orange juice every morning in my nest. And that I think that the timing of that book suggests that that was what was going on, I think.
One of the most pleasurable things about doing this podcast for me is when you see people buying stuff because they're looking after themselves. Like, I really enjoy that. You learn a lot about what people are by how they look after themselves. And that is you nesting and trying to protect yourself. And the alcohol thing, are you teetotal now, or was this just like a year off thing?
No, I'm still teetotal, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. Okay. So it's, this is obviously kind of a flipping moment, leaving that all behind.
Very much, yeah. I had wanted to do it for a long time, but I guess I had, it just took me an age to take it seriously enough, take myself seriously enough. Like, it sounds, maybe it's not, like, it's very earnest, but it's a thing that you have to go, no, you know, this is your life you're talking about, and you're like, you're just throwing it away. So yeah, there were numerous chats with myself that were had, like, my inner artist wasn't being fed and nourished very well. So yeah, it took a while for the penny to drop, and then it just did. And then one day it just was like, okay, this is the day it's happening. And that was great.
Well, this was January you bought the book. So was it at the beginning of the year? Was it like a post New Year thing?
So if that's 2010, it would be. I quit drinking in September 2008, which was I quit drinking the same night Ireland's economy completely tanked. Yes. And do you remember I don't expect people to remember this, but the IMF were called into Ireland's economy on the 31st September 2008. As like this, like, massive, you know, oh fuck, the country might go under. And it just happened that my mental state did as well on the same evening.
I mean, what a time to sober up, if there's ever a moment to not sober up.
Yeah, I was perfectly in tune and in time with my nation. And that next day I was hungover and in Dublin, and just kind of walking around the streets and like, kind of, oh, what am I doing in my life? And I just remembered that there was this thing I had been looking up to, you know, as something that helps you to quit alcohol. And I went, oh, that's what I'm going to do today. That's what's on. I just my day was clear, and I was like, okay, this is it. Nobody's going to miss me today. I'm going to put my head into this.
Amazing. Mm. It took a financial crash. I mean, worth it. Worth the financial Armageddon that you stopped drinking.
Yeah, there has been a consensus in Ireland about that.
Hi, I'm Scott Hancock, and I host From Queer to Eternity, a new podcast exploring what it means to be queer, where we have conversations like this.
I look at younger generations and go, you can just Google this stuff.
The fact that the only mention of queerness was don't get AIDS.
If I'd been marrying a girl, that would not have happened.
Maybe we can find a universality that we weren't aware of before.
That's why this podcast is so great, because actually, well, I guess we just don't think to speak of this stuff, and yet it's part of our fabric.
From Queer to Eternity, available to listen to now from the Great Big Owl Company.
Patreon. patreon.com/toasterpod.
So 2013, okay. Eleanor Tin, and you bought a visual CBT using pictures to help you apply cognitive behavior therapy to change your life. I'm fascinated by cognitive behavior therapy. Fascinated.
Yes. And I think I'm very fascinated by it as well, and other kinds of therapy too. But I was starting to prepare for a show that I would go on to do. I love it when people say things like that. That would come later. I hear people.
What happens when you know, this is the narrative arc of your life.
Yeah, I didn't know I had one of those. So there was a show that I put together in Ireland, I think called the National Therapy Project. And basically I imagine that the government decided to heal the people. And what that might look like. So I tried to research different kind of therapeutic strategies that the government might, how would they go about doing that? So I ran these, what it turned into was these like comedy meditation classes.
Tell us about those. How do those go?
They were great. They went really well. So people would come to the space, and they knew they were coming to a comedy show. But what they saw when they came in was, I guess, a kind of a the place was set up like a soft play area with fairy lights everywhere, and in the middle of the room was a pile of potatoes. And everybody had to take a potato and meditate with their potato. And we sorted out, basically we just went through all of Ireland's past trauma and sat with it, as they say to do, for the hour. And yeah, it was a fun thing to do.
When you do comedy meditation, though, isn't there people giggling rather than concentrating? Or do you think that actually helps, the laughter helps?
Yeah, like I wasn't trying to stop people from laughing throughout. It was funny because people, obviously normally at comedy shows, people are sitting in chairs, but that affects your whether or not you laugh in a situation, because you're looking at the people to your left and to your right and in front of you, and you're taking your cues from them. While in this situation, people were lying flat on their backs on the floor, so they were deprived the visual of people to their left and their right. Yes. So when I was reading out the meditation script with a kind of a soft panpipes type music underneath, and they might feel the urge to laugh, but the person who also found that funny might be right over the other corner of the room, and it was an incredible experience for me to be looking at an audience just kind of finding their laughter partners throughout the room. It was such I think comedy, I like comedy. I think it works well when the audience has the most amount of discovery in it, where they know as little as possible coming in, and they make the decision about what's funny. While, you know, there can be comedy that like does all the work for the audience and kind of lays it out for them. I'm trying to think of an example, but I guess TV comedy goes more in that direction. But things that are kind of a little bit more weird and wonderful, the audience has to come to it themselves and decide that, yes, this is funny. This tickles me. So that was something I, you know, enjoyed watching the audience do.
It's just brilliant. I love it. I absolutely love it. I just love the image of Goodbye, engineering. Hello, room full of people meditating to a potato.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, completely the idea of finding the comedy within. I mean, that does sound like we're really crawling slowly up our own asses, but it is true.
Yeah.
If you can engage with comedy, like to be part of a group, so lying down on the floor, that's brilliant. And whenever I've done that, like I've done yoga or in rehearsal rooms for stuff, if you all lie on the floor in a room full of other people, there's a weird sense of being by yourself, but also in a collective. It's a really odd combination.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It's great. I love it. Okay, good. All right, we must move on. Let's dive on now. We're going to 2016, and look what happens to your address. I see an address in London town. So the move has happened by this point.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's exactly it. Wow.
Was it the year you moved here, 2016?
I did the Fringe in 2015. I came straight down afterwards. I got on the train and came down to London after the Fringe in Edinburgh. Right. I was here 4 months at that point.
Uh-huh. Okay. And here we have you buying something, which, you know, it does make quite a regular appearance on your Amazon purchase history. I don't know. The Yogi Tea Lime Mint tea bags. There's a total of 102 tea bags here.
Oh, my word. Yeah. And they never have them in the shop. Have you seen this Yogi Tea brand? Is that...
No, but I'm confused because tea, lime and mint, are those the flavours here?
These are the flavours, yes. The Yogi Tea, a huge tea brand. They're like in all, they were just in the, you know, the health food shops that, you know, that have become more like whole food stores now.
Yeah.
They were just a kind of a niche kind of tea, but they're starting to come into Tesco and Sainsbury's now at this point. But they were niche. But this lime mint tea is the nichest of this tea's brand, in that all the shops that stock Yogi Tea never have the lime mint one. So it's something that I have to go to Amazon for, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, I can see that. It does appear again and again and again. £13.66. you know, you're getting your supply. Have you got to the point with your Amazon device? I don't know if you've done this or not. I've got about 19 Alexas in the house. And I order tea on Amazon as well. And I order it at such a regular interval. We always get through tea in like the same 6 week loop or whatever. So suddenly I'll get a notification and it's a robot telling me that it's nearly time for me to order tea again.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Do you want to reorder your tea? Yeah.
Yes, I do. The other one I got it with was cacao nibs. just felt so fucking ridiculous. The base ingredient for chocolate on subscription. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Jeff. I know you started with books in the 90s, but now you are my cacao nib dealer. Yeah. Butter toaster. Riding online shops just like a roller coaster. Oh, don't it feel so fine when you're buying all lovely strange things online, like books, weight sets, and posters. Come on, hear the best of the best of my mate butter toaster. September 2018, the wellness syndrome. This looks interesting. What's this?
Yeah.
Is apparently a groundbreaking new book arguing that the ever-present pressure to maximize our wellness has started to work against us.
This is a book I bought and I didn't read. I don't know if it's any good.
Okay.
It's one of those, I think I decided what it was. And I then realized I prefer the idea of the book than actually learning what's in it. So
when it comes back to what you were saying earlier on about the sort of stoic approach to life, because this is, according to this, it follows health freaks who go to extremes to find the perfect diet, corporate athletes who start the day with a dance party. So I guess it's portraying how extreme it can get when you look after yourself too much.
Yes, and I guess there's a lot of kind of fake science in a lot of it as well. Say like the whole Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow scenario, I don't think we can get sued for saying this, but she's advised people to put eggs in their vaginas and stuff, which has dubious medical benefits, I think. It's disputed anyway. Doctors can't agree on whether or not.
just means that at the end of that process, you're making women, when they finished putting eggs in their vaginas, you're making women lay an egg.
Yes. Which, you know, there's no... I'm not saying I wouldn't want to lay an egg.
Just make them cluck, get in touch with our inner chicken. I don't know. It just, there are so many, and I think Amazon is partly responsible for this. There is a whole plethora of self-help stuff that would have been in parts of the bookshop that maybe we didn't go into in a physical bookshop, and Amazon gets to us, and we can be overstimulated by these things.
Yeah. I think I kind of got the book, and then I was like, do you know what? Yeah, I agree. There is too much of this. So it didn't go on my top things to read.
No. And pretty ironic as well. Pretty ironic as well. There's a book about too many self-help books. And here is the book complaining about too many self-help books that is in itself
a self-help.
I mean, that is like me making... It's like me making a podcast about too many white middle-class men talking on podcasts. And it's just me and Dave. You know, it's just... let's crash on through to 2020 now before we finish today's podcast, Eleanor. And thank you so much for coming to do this. I love this. I love that you've bought this at the beginning of 2020. This is hilarious. You bought a book by Jenny O'Dell called How to Do Nothing, which at the beginning of 2020... Perfect.
Yes. Do you ever get that? It's just coming back to how I got it. I think at the time I was... There's a thing sometimes when you have some free time.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And you don't know how to do with it.
I'm obsessed with this. I call it leisure anxiety.
Yes. This is what I was like, I don't know what to do with my free time. And I'm terrified of making the wrong decision with my free time and doing something that wasn't a great use of it. And then I won't get free time again for a while. And I'll be like, why did you not? You're supposed to, you know, bake bread, and you knitted a scarf. That was a terrible idea.
That fucking scarf.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that to hang myself. Yeah. God damn it. It's the curse of the... It's been a curse of my life, leisure anxiety. I am never happy when I have free time. The day before, the day before, I look at that and I'll be like, oh my God, tomorrow... I've got nothing to do. Oh, delicious. Yeah. And cut to 24 hours later and I'm fucking miserable.
I hate it.
Yes.
I hate having nothing to do.
Well, can we solve this please now before we finish the podcast? Because I genuinely feel like this would be self-help for people, because it's to do with massive anxiety. It's to do with complete ADHD. I'm always thinking of a billion things I could be doing. I can't settle on one thing and trust my own decision. That's a key thing. I can't trust my own decision to just stick at something.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you stop your mind going into the possibilities of what I could have done.
Yes.
You didn't. That's the point. You didn't do those things. So you don't know what it would have been like.
And this is why the cinema is a good one. Because once you're in the cinema, you're locked in. You've really got to stay in there and watch that thing. You can't just wander off.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased that you've got that as well. Thank you. I feel better.
You're the first person to put a label on it for me, which is so helpful.
Leisure anxiety, that's what it is. I've moaned about this for years. It's do you know what it is? As with everything, it all comes down to just lower your fucking expectations.
Everything, absolutely everything comes down to that.
Just don't expect to have a nice time.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, that's a bit of a miserable way to do it. Not really. I'm never disappointed then.
Yeah. Yeah, the Stoics would like that, I think, too.
Oh, God, I'm a Stoic. But I'm too enthusiastic and babyish to be a Stoic, but I think I am. And look, here you are, mid-lockdown, May 2020. You bought the Adult Jigsaw, a Frida Kahlo pink 1,000-piece jigsaw. Someone is living their best life, and it's you, Eleanor.
It was a specific purchase for this. This is pure to, you know, please myself. It's not for anything. I'm just gonna enjoy doing a bit of a jigsaw for a while.
Well, but also a jigsaw is quite a good, as is a Sudoku, quite a good solution to leisure anxiety, because it sort of occupies you in a kind of neat way. It's quite a good one. You don't have much choice. And look, 30th of July 2020, $9.99 on the Beenax Muscle Roller Stick for your trigger points. Is that any good?
Yeah, they're all good, but I don't use them that much. Like they just, I guess. They're just things to have there, really, aren't they? And when you have a problem with a muscle or a joint, you just reach They have worked for me, yeah.
Okay. Because I got done by one of those once. It almost looks like a sex toy, but it's basically like a drill, but with a round bubble at the end. And you just get pummeled. I went to a chiropractor who pummeled my back, and it's it was really good, but I giggled. The problem is, whenever I get any kind of massage, I just giggle the whole time.
Does that put the massage person off? Do they think this guy needs to take it more seriously?
Why is he laughing at my my vocation in life?
And then they probably hurt you.
Yeah, they do. That's true. I'll stop him fucking laughing.
Yeah.
That's true. But that just makes me laugh more. Oh my God, I never thought about that. Not good at being massaged. Do you get aches and pains from running? How much running do you do?
I like to get up to about 20 or 25 miles a week. But okay. Whenever I try and go that hard, I injure myself, it seems to be. So I've got to keep it down to about maybe 10 or 15 miles a week, I think, for the moment.
Yes, I did exactly that. That's why I went to that chiropractor.
Yeah.
That very one is because I went crazy one week and I ran something like 40 kilometers in a week. Yeah, an idiot, complete idiot. I think I ran every day or something. And at the end of the week, my back went and I was out for a month. What a dollard.
Yeah.
Okay, look, final thing. And the final thing for today's episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. And this is something we referred to earlier on and something I believe in very strongly. And it's I've got to do something about it. Maybe this book is what's going to help. It's by Jeron Lanier. And it's called 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got 20,000 followers. So, you really happy to put all those people in a bin? Are you?
No, I'm not. I don't have the courage to do it just yet. I'm locked in.
That is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. To be fair, people use the word cesspit an awful lot.
About you or social media?
About social media. Okay, and okay. I don't think it's as bad as all that. I just feel like the anxiety for me is the time and the where I feel like I could have done all these other things. I could have had more leisure time and been anxious in it. It's just, that kind of sense of your life kind of dwindling.
what a positive.
What a way to end.
As people think, I've just dwindled my life away for an hour listening to this.
Oh yeah, yeah, sorry,
no,
guys.
But it's true. And it's, you know, again, if you can look at the last, and I'm sorry to throw this number out there, but pretty much 20 years of you buying stuff on Amazon. Sorry to slam that down. But, you know, early on, you buying the artist. Yes, I know it hurts. Artist's Way, Choice Theory, decorating your house, building yourself a nest. And then in the last few years, it's things like getting myself off social media. Do you know what I mean? Social media was, I feel like it's reducing us. It's boiling us down. And it's so hard, especially with doing what we do, because we need it. I use it all the fucking time to advertise this fucking podcast. So what am I supposed to do? What I'm saying is, help me.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I don't know.
Final thing. Look at this. Essentials of Russian Grammar, A Complete Guide for Students and Professionals. Why?
I'm on Duolingo, haven't I? With Learn Russian for the last 8 or 9 months. And it's actually not that good. The Russian is great. No criticism of the Russian language.
Right.
All for it. But as a way to learn, I don't think I'm taking it in as well as it could be. So I said I'd buy a little backup book that I can look into. Yeah.
Okay. So you've been doing it for 8 months. I mean, do you have like conversations in it yet? Or are you just listening to endless Russian podcasts?
You just listen to phrases. This app Duolingo just asks you to repeat phrases back or translate things and learn new words and gives you tasks every day to do in Russian.
Wow. Is there a view to maybe head east eventually and do a gig in Russian? You know, could happen.
I think I thought maybe I'd be able to do some kind of translation work, for kind of spy stuff or something.
Yeah. Yeah, put that out there. Get some spy work.
We have to, what did Rishi Sunak say? We have to be looking at other careers.
Yeah, It's true. We need side hustles. Give GCHQ a call. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Thanks to Rishi. I'm now a spy and a comedian at the same time. Listen, Eleanor, thank you so much for joining me on My Mate Bought a Toaster. And what's your Twitter bits, please, so I can tell everyone they'll all follow you and then you'll be even more glued to that place.
Thanks, guys. At Eleanor Tiernan on all of them. E-L-E-A-N-O-R.
That was really good. Thank you so much for doing that. And thank you so much for that huge invasion of your privacy. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm going to come out of your account now, though. You might be pleased to hear. Done. That's it. That's it. But could you do me a favour? Could you keep your password as Tom Price forever? Eleanor Tiernan on this week's My Mate Bought a Toaster. There you go. Brilliant, brilliant guest. I've got so many fantastic people coming on the show in the next few weeks. I've got a very full diary recording loads of these, and they are all absolutely brilliant. I've just had an email just now from someone who is a proper hero of mine, and he's coming on. I'm so happy. And if you want to see who I am talking about, then guess what? I've put it up on Patreon. I'm revealing future guests. patreon.com/toasterpod, and you can see who we've got coming up in the next few weeks. And there's loads of other goodies up there as well, including ad-free and early access to future episodes, all for as little as £3 a month. And thank you to those of you who are supporting us on Patreon. It is so, so helpful. Yours. Anyway, that was the fantastic Eleanor Tiernan. Give her a follow on Twitter so she's stuck on Twitter forever. And that's it. It's the end of another episode. Well done for getting to this point. I'm genuinely impressed. See you next week. I can't be the same always. I still love you, baby. I don't want you for the rest of my day. I won't never say we're through. I won't never say we're through. GreatBigOwl.com.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic.
Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page?
It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question. If you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps.
That's not nice.
Just can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.